Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer, and more of our guests this week, Donna Wooten and Marie Prinz. Donna is very pleased once again to have a poem and story included in our anthology. She has written a new novel, and that will be published in 2018. Donna, tell us a little bit about what you're going to read.
The poem I'm going to read is called Wandering Beaver, and it was inspired by a walk along the waterfront trail. One day when I met some friends and we were all looking at this beaver that seemed to be a bit out of place. It was on the sandy beach and we had a great discussion about why it was there.
Did you find out?
We had many speculations, and I shared those with my husband when I got home, and he countered some of them, but then I went upstairs and wrote this poem.
Okay.
So, Wandering Beaver. I wonder where the beaver's gone, who walked on lonely beaches in January through the thaw. Now when the wind howls and heavy snow abounds, the landscape is solid white. Seems a ludicrous sighting, that large, slick, black rodent gnawing on sticks on sandy shores, its image fixed on nickel coins removed from dam and wetlands, still a familiar profile.
Thank you, Donna. That's lovely. Marie Prinz is a remedial reading teacher with her own practice, the Reading Room. She lives with her artist husband in a historic octagonal home in Colborne. Over the past 10 years, she's written memoir pieces, poetry, and children's stories. So tell us, Marie, what you're going to read. Where is it from?
Well, the piece I wrote for our Canada 150 anthology is, in part, my own immigration story from 1971. Recently, in an old filing cabinet, I discovered a document from that time titled Settlers' Effects, which is the name of my memoir piece. The document lists the possessions or settlers' effects that my husband and I packed into a U-Haul trailer 45 years ago and hauled across the border to a small shanty of an apartment in Toronto. In describing how these possessions increased, moved with us from one house to another, and helped us eventually settle into our new country, I became curious about the settlers' effects that other immigrants over the past centuries have brought with them to Canada. The piece I will read now is one of the two recent refugee stories in this memoir piece. In the second story, a Syrian mother and her three children who came to Canada in late December 2015 told a sadder tale. 5 years before being privately sponsored as refugees, they had left everything they owned in home Syria when they fled with the clothes on their backs. They had nothing when they arrived in Lebanon, and very little when they traveled to Canada from the refugee camp. There were no personal items like books, toys, dolls, or games. All they brought with them were winter clothes they had purchased with money sent by their sponsors. Even their cell phone, which had been a lifeline to family members, had to be discarded because of its poor condition. When asked what she wished she had been able to save, the mother answered like anyone who loses their lifetime belongings in a fire or flood. Her papers. Pictures, birth certificates, memorabilia that can never be replaced. Then she added that she wished she, quote, was able to have her husband arrive with her, but he had been missing for 5 years before they came to Canada. This mother's haunting story has too often been the immigrant story. From the Irish potato famine immigrant stories of those who in 1847 arrived by boat at Gros Ile, to the displaced person stories of those who arrived totally alone at Pier 21 after World War II, to the Vietnamese boat people stories of those who, after escaping civil war and pirates in the South Asia Sea, arrived at our airports in 1975. Since the early 1600s, there have been hundreds of thousands of untold stories of immigrants who came here from all over the world to escape poverty, famine, war, slavery, and persecution. No matter how much or how little they brought with them, all left someone behind. Whatever settlers' effects immigrants bring to Canada, they help the newcomer bridge the familiar life of their birth country to the unknown one before them. A piece of clothing or jewelry, a keepsake from a dead loved one, a photograph, a family heirloom, all these precious personal items carry a story and contain a history, thus helping to keep one's identity intact. For physically, psychologically, and often economically, life in a new country is always a challenge.
Thank you, Marie. Our next reader is Kim Aubrey. Kim Aubrey is a poet and story writer whose work has appeared in the New Quarterly, Event, Best Canadian Stories, and others. Kim's story collection, What We Hold in Our Hands, was published in 2013. So what will you read, Kim?
I have two poems that will be in the Spirit of the Hills anthology. And one of them, the first one, was inspired by one of my beach walks. It's called Winter Grace. Thank you for the places I have landed that have taught this Bermuda girl to love winter. Saskatoon's bright, constant snow. How the South Saskatchewan River broke and healed itself over and over. Waking to hoarfrost's crystalline magic. Sundogs, ice that forms in air, improbable stars. And now the northern shores of Lake Ontario, where I can tread a tawny frozen landscape, sand and pebbles ice adhered into textured slabs, where waves bless drab dry shrubs with a glistening coat, and black and white mergansers bob and plunge in water that today sings island turquoise. Places where I have learned to love the hard stuck parts of myself, to allow water to melt me, mend me, lend me its shine.
I'm pleased to say a few words about our next reader, Gwyn Sheltimer. She was raised in Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, and her writing is shaped by that remarkable and rich landscape. Arriving in Canada in 1982, she balanced her practical accounting background with a passion for writing. A poet, columnist, non-fiction writer, novelist, and professional editor, Gwyn has won several awards for her writing, including the Timothy Findlay Creative Writing Prize. Of course, Gwyn is also the producer and co-host for Word on the Hills radio show on Northumberland 89.7.
Indeed I am. Well, the story that I have in the anthology is in many ways a memoir, but it is not written in that form. It's written as if it could be any immigrant, because I'm sure this sort of thing happens to a lot of people. I emigrated to Canada in 1982 from Zimbabwe. And it's called Babes in the Wood. Cold burrows deep into her bones, catches in her throat, settles in her heart. From the 8th floor apartment, she looks for the forests and lakes reflecting blue brilliance of sky, looks for the Canada of the brochures, of the postcards, of the paintings in the embassy. But everywhere, bare bone branches wail arms against the sky, stamp their feet in grey earth. This is not what she wanted to come to. Today's sky stretches thin blue like vein beneath skin. Perhaps she left her capacity for joy on that airport runway on the other side of the world. Even now her body reverberates with the muddle of hope and sorrow she felt as the plane took off. She remembers the shivering, her teeth clattering in her mouth, her head stiffening against thought. "Ma'am, are you all right? Can I get you water? A doctor? Are you ill?" But she wasn't ill. Couldn't they see the spilling of tensions about her, discarded on the floor, slipping down the aisle? False accusations, frantic phone calls, armed escorts, and wakeful nights throwing things into suitcases. All being expunged, relief flooding through every pore to fill the vacuum. "No, I'm not ill. I'm safe." She still guards her words in this new place, does not yet know whom to trust and with what. "Yes, the foreign transfer has come through," the bank teller offered just yesterday. "Do you want it in cash?" "Shh! she said aloud, looking to see who may have heard. Then the realization. I'm sorry, she muttered, head down, voice low. It's just that... Never mind. A weak smile, embarrassment. You wouldn't understand. These apartment windows open only at the top. These walls close in on her. She needs air. She's never lived in an apartment before, never been on the 8th floor of anything. She wants to open her door and step into a garden, to smell jasmine and hear the call of the Lowries. She wants the warmth of the sun on her face. Far below, just at the corner of the building, she sees a scrap of green and a group of trees, a footpath leading in. It calls her. She opens the apartment door and steps into the hallway, turns to leave and remembers, catches the door just before it closes and returns inside. She grabs her coat and tries again. When she steps out of the elevator, a young woman her age is fussing with a toddler. She cannot tell if the child is a boy or a girl in the cocoon of clothes. The woman smiles at her. "Isn't it great? Spring's finally here," she says. "The creek's running something fierce. All the snow melt, eh?" What to say? What is snow melt? She's never seen real snow. Only pictures in her childhood books from long ago. Mounds of white with sleighs and happy children and colourful scarves. Perfect round snowmen with black hats and carrot noses. But there's no snow outside. The woman looks straight at her, waiting for a response. "Trees all budding now," the woman tries again, "and the sun is just glorious." She can't find words to answer, so she pulls her coat tighter about her, makes for the lobby door. But outside, this northern sun doesn't feel glorious. It's too weak, too cool, and the wind cuts like a whip. She glances around as she takes small steps down the sidewalk. People walk differently here. They watch where they step, heads down, necks turtled in sweaters. They walk with their eyes only, not with their ears and their noses. She knows the sound of a snake comes to you long before you see it on the path. The smell of stinging ants reaches you before you find their trail in the grass. To be safe, you must walk in the world, not on it. And I'll leave it there.
Okay. Thank you, Gwen. That was wonderful. And thank you to all the people who've taken part in this program. Shane Joseph, the publisher of our anthology this year, Alan Bland, Renee Schmidt, Donna Wooden, Marie Prinz, and Kim Aubrey. So we've been interviewing all these people because they are involved with our new anthology, Hill Spirits 3. Hill Spirits 3 will be released at the festival on November the 4th at a special concert and launch on Saturday evening. We hope that many of you will be interested in coming to our festival. There are many things to do and many events to take part in. To connect with us, please send comments, queries or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, www.wordonthehills.com, where all our broadcasts are archived. We love to hear from you and welcome your comments on our programs. If you like more information about the festival, and if you wish to buy tickets, go to Spirit of the Hills website, www.spiritofthehills.org. Thanks for tuning in to the show. We hope you'll join us for another program next week.